You're listening to SBS News. Australia has now recorded more than 1,000 coronavirus deaths since the start of the pandemic. It comes after New South Wales recorded 4 COVID-19 related deaths, including an Indigenous man in Dubbo, west of Sydney. He wasn't vaccinated and had significant underlying health conditions. Western New South Wales Local Health District Chief Executive Scott McLaughlin says it's a sad and sombre day.
With the passing of a 50-year-old Aboriginal man in Dubbo Health Service, our sincere sympathies and thoughts go out to the family, the friends and the broader Aboriginal community. Now, there couldn't be a more timely day to be focusing on vaccination. This gentleman was not vaccinated. We know that people will die if the vaccines don't get into arms.
The national toll is now 1,003. All Australians aged 16 to 39 are now officially eligible to book in for a Pfizer vaccine. That age group represents 8.6 million Australians. While appointments are open, Victoria's Health Minister Martin Foley says it's extraordinarily difficult to get a Pfizer vaccination. He says state-run systems are all booked. SBS News used the National Eligibility Tracker and made 5 attempts to get a Pfizer booking for a 16-year-old at a private clinic in Inner Melbourne. The earliest available appointments for first doses were in mid-November. Martin Foley blames the lack of Pfizer supply for being unable to prioritise the full vaccination of Year 12 students before their exams in October.
The constraint that has held us back considerably from the get-go is the lack of supply. All of these groups, if we recall back in when the 1A, 1B and other arrangements were all rolled out at the start of the year, it was all going to be done by October. Clearly, that isn't going to be the case. The constraints have been and continue to be around supply. You can't distribute what you don't have.
The New South Wales Health Minister, Brad Hazzard, also pointed to the lack of Pfizer in Australia.
Pfizer is actually not in abundant supplies. AstraZeneca is. The Premier had it. I had it. Dr. Chan had it. AstraZeneca is a perfectly good vaccine. It's been used right across the world. And my strong advice, when we're in a breakout of the viruses we have at the moment, is go and get whatever vaccine you can get. They're both very, very good vaccines. But for those who have a preference for a number of reasons, for Pfizer, well, they'll have to wait. But my advice and the health team's advice is don't wait. Because you could be the next person in the intensive care unit and you could be the person who is actually exposing our health team to the virus and you could be the person who dies. So go and get whatever vaccine's available.
The federal opposition continues to use question time to highlight the delays with the vaccine rollout, blaming Scott Morrison for a failure to secure sufficient supplies in a timely way.
If the Prime Minister refuses to acknowledge his mistakes, how can Australians be confident that he won't repeat them?
The Prime Minister has the call.
Well, Mr. Speaker, it's all about how you finish the race, Mr. Speaker, as I've said to this place before. And what has been achieved in these many months now, Mr. Speaker, despite the setbacks that we had early on in the vaccination program, which would have seen our expectation of being able to offer a vaccine to everybody in this country being set back some 4 months from what we originally anticipated. That has already been brought back to being able to do that before the end of the year, and as each vaccination is demonstrating, we believe we'll be able to meet that even sooner.
About 34% of Australians aged over 16 are now fully vaccinated. That's still well below the 70 and 80% thresholds the Commonwealth and most of the states and territories see as necessary to start significantly easing restrictions. Scott Morrison has told Parliament the vaccination rollout has been gathering pace, and he's hinted at the possibility of additional supplies being acquired.
The demonstration of the government's resolve has been put into place by ensuring that the vaccination rates that we are now achieving, the fact that we're able to bring forward doses, the fact that we've been able to achieve and realise additional supplies, and we have more irons in the fire, Mr Speaker, more irons in the fire that will see further doses, we believe, being made available in this country. All of that demonstrates, Mr Speaker, that the vaccination program that had its challenges earlier have been overcome.
In New South Wales, Premier Gladys Berejiklian wants to shift the focus away from the rising case numbers. Her state recorded another 1,290 locally acquired infections. She says what's more important is the rate of hospitalisations, including the number of people being treated in intensive care. Her own words suggest that the COVID emergency in her state is going to get even worse.
October is likely to be our worst month in terms of pressure on the system, and that's why we're gearing up for that. We have been for nearly 2 years. Can I state again, our hospital system is under pressure. Will we need to do things differently? Of course we will. Will we need to manage things differently? We're in the middle of a pandemic, of course. But will we cope? Of course we will. And that's why we're keeping a keen eye on those figures. But it's important to note, even after you get to 80% double dose, we're going to see more cases. But if the majority of our population is vaccinated, the majority of those cases won't need to be in hospital. And that's why it's really important to focus on those numbers.
Southwest and Western Sydney continue to be the worst affected areas in New South Wales, and the Wesley Mission says some people living in these hotspots are requiring charitable support for the first time in their lives. Chief Executive, the Reverend Stu Cameron, says the fact that many people in these areas don't always speak English at home just adds to the challenges.
That complicates things, and you know, hugely, you know, public messaging around public health orders, but also particularly for us around how people can access assistance is not always getting to people in a timely way. So that is exacerbating what is already a very challenging situation.
Reverend Cameron says some adults are electing to go without food so they can feed their children and are struggling to pay their utility bills. He says Wesley Mission staff are having to take strict precautions so they can safely help families infected with the virus.
Some of our staff are in full PPE going to families who we support, going to their homes where mum and dad are infected and having to do the best they can to isolate from their kids to stop them from being infected, and providing, you know, easy to heat meals so that some form of self-isolation can still happen. So that's happening on the ground. It's very real for our staff.
The ACT has had another 12 cases, including 4 mystery infections. Chief Minister Andrew Barr says an extension of the lockdown is possible. And Victoria recorded 73 new coronavirus cases, with 52 linked to known outbreaks. More than three quarters of the cases are people under the age of 40. Victoria's Chief Health Officer, Professor Brett Sutton, says it's a very challenging situation, but there are some signs the outbreak is stabilising. Professor Sutton says he's unable to say if Victoria can get back to zero cases of community transmission.
We have to do what is feasible. We are not going to achieve the impossible if it becomes impossible. But the aggressive suppression strategy is pretty explicit through National Cabinet. It is doing your utmost to keep those numbers down, to manage the health system, to get to zero if you possibly can, but not with some absurd hope if numbers continue to increase despite everything that you're doing.
For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Greg Dyatt, SBS News.